Please turn then to Matthew chapter number 11. We continue where we left off last week. Title of this message this morning, The Reality of Greatness. The reality of greatness. That will be really understandable to you if you have listened to last week's message. Now you're coming to get another perspective of greatness as we continue in the Word of God. This is Jesus speaking. From the days of John the Baptist until now, sorry, I started 12, let me start from 11 as I promised. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, that is our verse today, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our lives. After we have heard Jesus' verdict last week of John the Baptist, telling us that John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived, telling us that no one actually matches up with the character and the way John the Baptist was before God, we are left then with a question. We are left with a question to ask, because we have seen how important that was for the people to hear. The question that we are left with now is greatness really important? You ask this question because you have seen the great John the Baptist, according to Jesus, as great as he is, he's actually lying in prison. How can a great man be in prison? Is greatness really important? If I have to be great and end up in prison, is that what greatness is all about? John the Baptist is in prison, and his enemy, Herod, is having a bribe just outside the prison gate. That doesn't sound like greatness. Am I even great if such a man, the man who baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who heard the voice of God from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son," the very same man who saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven in the form of a dove, the very same man who humbled himself and pointed everyone to Jesus, not to himself, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," pointing to Jesus and humbling himself, "I must decrease and he must increase," the very same man is in prison, suffering without a possibility to come out of that prison. Listen to Luke chapter number 9, verse 46. Just listen. The Bible says here, an argument arose among them, meaning among the disciples, as to which of them was the greatest. There is something important about greatness. Even the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to be great. So we want to know, is it really as it is with John? That's the question they are asking. But listen to Jesus. Jesus is not denying the fact that greatness is important. Listen to what he's saying. Which means then, it is right that greatness is important. And I will explain what we mean by being great, because we did say something about that last week as well. Listen to Jesus in verse 47 to 48. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, he took a child and put the child beside them. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. Whosoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you, that is the one who is great." It's the same as to say, the one who is foolish among you is the one who's clever. The one who's least is the one who's great. Jesus is not denying that there is a need for greatness, but he brings an explanation, actually, who is great, or what should you be to be considered a great person in this world. So having said that, friends, you realize then that he says the one who's lowly and humble, The question is then, who is lowly and humble? The answer to that is very simple. The one who's born of the Spirit of God is the one who's lowly and humble. Therefore, I just want to bring 2 points of great encouragement to us this morning. Firstly, I want to tell you that all Christians are great people. That is what we find here. All Christians are great people. But the second point I want to bring before us is that there is a fight for greatness, and the fight for greatness is real. That is the second point. So let's look at the first point. All Christians are great. Remember, we're coming from the background whereby we said last week, John was the greatest man ever lived. But when you read this last part of verse number 11, there is something which I have already highlighted that sounds like a contradiction. Something that sounds like it is not true. The one whose list is great. Something of contradiction is in this verse. What is this all about? Because the last part says, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is the great one. How can one who is least in the kingdom of heaven be the greater person than the one Jesus said he is great? How can this be? He said, John was the greatest man born from a woman. None can compare to John. But now he comes again and says, the very same great one that none can compare. Whoever is least is greater than him. Church, what we need to realize from this is that greatness cannot be defined by men. We need to allow Jesus, we need to allow God to define greatness. Why? Because men, we as people, are man-centered. If we can be given the task to define greatness, if I can give you the task to define greatness, you will make sure that in that definition you fit in yourself. Because we are people, we want to be known as great. Remember the story I told you last week about that American looking down on the African, thinking that he's great, but actually the African was great? Because every time we put ourselves in the definition of greatness, we are part of that definition. If now we can spend a little bit of time and ask one another a question, who do you think is the greatest boxer ever lived? I'm making boxing because I was a little bit associated with that back in the day. So I'd rather ask about those things. Who among the boxers was the greatest boxer? We will spend the whole day arguing. We'll end up being separated as the church, arguing. Some saying it was baby Jake Matlala, if you know him. And some say it's Mayweather, who's just 5 seconds ago almost lost to someone. Some will say it was Mike Tyson. Some will say it was Muhammad Ali. Some will say, oh, Cassius Baloyi, which you guys don't even know. We'll spend the whole day. Why? Because every person has a perspective. Every person has something to say of his own understanding about such a thing. But what we have before us here is not an opinion. Because if you say it's baby Jake Matlala, it's your own opinion. I have a different opinion. But what we have here, church, is not an opinion. It is a fact of who is great. And that fact comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus defines those who are great. He says, those who are great are those who are least in the kingdom of God. Jesus is actually talking to the crowd, as I mentioned last week. What he's trying to do is that everyone from the crowd now, since they have realize they cannot match up with John the Baptist, that can be discouraging. If you are told as a Christian that I am great and you cannot match up with me, what can you do? So the crowd has been told already they cannot match up with John the Baptist. But Jesus is actually in this negative bringing something of encouragement to the crowd, that if the crowd really wants to be great, there is something that they need to do. They've already realized they cannot match up because John the Baptist, why was John the Baptist great? He had this unique privilege of being the preacher of the kingdom of God, but also he saw the inauguration, the coming together, the building up, if you will, of the kingdom of God. And no one has ever seen that. No prophet spoke about the kingdom and also saw the kingdom beginning. John spoke about it and saw Jesus. So John had the greatest privilege. But this crowd, just like you and I, do not have that great privilege. But Jesus tells us that greatness is still important for us. So how then are we going to be these great people? Church, you must ask this question. What about me? Or what about this crowd? Such people, as I was saying, did not have the privilege of preaching and seeing the fruit of their ministry. We today, as the church, are preaching. There is no proof that we will see the fruit of our ministry. We are teaching our children what is right and what is wrong. But it doesn't mean we will live to see the fruit of our ministry like John the Baptist. So it disqualifies us in a way to be great in the same kind of category as John the Baptist. So what about us? What about us who does not fit into this category? Are we outside? Because only the great can be in the kingdom of God. Are we outside the kingdom of God? And if we are, how do we make sure that we are in? Because we must be great to be in the kingdom of God. And I'm using that word great as it was explained last week. Not as people will say out there who is great. Because no man born of a woman can be great in accordance to that. So what about us? I want to tell you, church, that in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the kingdom of heaven, there is a way in which we are great. God does not determine or define greatness as people does. Greatness is not only in the preaching of the word of God, but it is more, there we go, it is more in the believing of this kingdom of God. I'm going to repeat again. The greatness we are talking about, it is not only in the preaching, because we can preach and still not be in the kingdom. But the greatness is to be in the kingdom of God. So what am I saying? Everyone, therefore, who is in the kingdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is then a great person. So Jesus here is trying to challenge these people to question their own sense of importance. If you think you are really important, are you a great person? And also, are you a least person? We'll get to that just now. Two things that a Christian needs to be: a least, so something minor, or, and at the same time, great. You must be both. You must be young and old. I don't know. You see, that's the problem. You must be young, you must be old. Listen to this verse. Run with patience the race that is set before you. How do you run? Running is fast, but patience is taking your time. Do you see this paradox? It's not a contradiction, it's a paradox. You run with patience the race that is set before you. You humble yourself to be lifted up. We are the kokomesa, uribemhul. Doesn't work that way. Or you give so that you receive. Do you get what is Jesus doing here? He wants a Christian to have a dual identity. So to be great, I already defined, is to be in the kingdom of God more than to preach about the kingdom of God. So in other words then, church, not everyone is counted worthy outside the kingdom of God. You cannot be counted worthy outside the kingdom of God. Only those who are in the kingdom of God are the partakers of the kingdom of God, and they are great. Only if you become the partaker of the kingdom of God, you become a great person. You are even greater than those who preach the gospel. Why? Because you believe the gospel even through their weakness. We have to endure and believe the gospel as I preach to you and forget my weakness. That makes you even much better. That is why Jesus is now concerned. He is addressing the crowd. He's saying to the crowd, do not look too much at John the Baptist. Because what you see a man who is in prison. And now you have heard my verdict that what is great. But here it is. You also can be great. Because if you believe the gospel, despite what you see happening in John, despite the fact that John is in prison because of the gospel, you become great. And that is the toughest thing ever, church. For a pastor to come and tell you that you, 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 If you believe the gospel, you will be rich. But he himself is poor. Do you see the problem? Believe the gospel, you will be rich. But I am poor. That is why that is not the gospel. But if I say, believe the gospel and God will sanctify you and make you holy and make you blameless. Then you believe the gospel, but tomorrow you see me, a person having a weakness. Maybe you see me arguing outside there with Barbaras. Arguing. And you think, oh, I didn't expect this. But you continue. I'm not saying that is right to happen. I'm making an example. But you continue to hold on to the gospel. So you are believing the gospel despite of the characters and the attitudes of the people who are preaching the gospel to you. And in other words, you are believing the gospel despite what the people are going through. Are we together, church? The people had to believe the gospel regardless of what was happening with John the Baptist. So Jesus says, if the crowd will then look away from John the Baptist's weakness and not be intimidated by the verdict that Jesus told them about John's greatness, if they will just believe John's message and see Christ in that message and see Christ in all that was happening, they will be great in the kingdom of heaven, regardless the fact that they are least according to human definition, but also according to Jesus' definition of John being great. Regardless the fact that you are least, meaning regardless the fact that you do not have the privilege of preaching. Because that's what made John great. He had the privilege of preaching, the privilege of seeing the ministry. Regardless that, if you will hold on to the gospel, you are great. So Jesus is bringing the balance. Everyone who's born of the Spirit of God is great. We'll come back to what it means to be least again. Although the first thing that I've mentioned, what it means, you don't have the privilege of John the Baptist. You don't have my privilege of standing before you every Sunday and preach to you. You don't have the privilege that I have as I prepare the messages and pray for each and every stanza that I will bring unto you. You don't have that privilege. But that doesn't mean you are less than me. You are actually great according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the crowd must look away from the character of John and the suffering of John and hold on to the gospel. There's a theory that is going out there, if you've been listening or watching your favorite TV station, Vought TV, or what is the other one, TBN, there's one more, whatever, Soweto TV. There's a theory that is going on. I'm saying this because you don't go to those churches, only you can see it there. The pastor is elevated to a position whereby he is called daddy. Have you heard that? They say my father when they speak to him. My daddy. Okay, maybe you have not heard, but it's going on out there. And Mamfundis also has a little name. She's called the queen of the house. So what is happening? The young men who desire to be like him, who desire to dance like him, who desire to wear the same shoes like him and the same tie like him, they elevate him high and call him daddy. And Mamfundis now, then also she's elevated high so that the women also may tap into that blessing so that they also be great, because they are the great ones, we are the least ones. God has favored them, we are not favored. There is that theory out there. But that is not biblical truth, friends. What we see here is that indeed the preacher of the gospel is important. Indeed he is great, as John is great in the prison. But those who believe in the gospel, they're actually great because they believe despite weakness of other people. That is what is happening here. So in other words, the congregation, the people of God, are much more important than myself. I must not put myself first, but the congregation first. The leadership puts the people first. This is Jesus putting the crowd. He says, if you want to be great, don't look at John. Listen to his message. Enter the kingdom of God. Then you are great people. That is true biblical way of saying someone is great. Is great. Regardless of the fact that he doesn't have the privilege of being a preacher. So, church, every Christian who has believed the gospel message is great in the kingdom of God. He is great because he has believed the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian is great in the kingdom of God in terms of his obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, you become great. That's why we read that text, Luke chapter number 9. He says, if you humble yourself, that is to be obedient to Jesus. If you humble yourself, you are the great one among them. Christians need to be humble. Christians are the great ones because they've held on to the gospel's truth. You become great in the kingdom of God because we have chosen Jesus. Friends, our gospel does not say, our doctrine does not say we must not choose Jesus. We choose Jesus. How do we choose Jesus? Because God has chosen us to choose Jesus. So we choose Jesus according to God's purpose, which God has made and available through His word. As we preach today, one must choose Christ because God has chosen you to choose Jesus. There's a responsibility that we all have. If you have done that, we are great in the kingdom of heaven. You have chosen the narrow path than the broad way of false teachers out there. You are great in the kingdom of God. So this is not a contradiction. This is a paradox. What is a paradox? A statement that sounds like a contradiction, but in essence, it is not a contradiction. You can be least and be great. You may have no privilege of preaching the gospel, but if you believe the gospel, you become great in the kingdom of heaven. So here's the thing, church. None of those outside the kingdom of God are truly great, regardless of what they can do. None of those outside the kingdom of God can enjoy the blessing of this paradox, to have a dual identity as a person. And I'm going to make another example so that you see we have a dual identity. Outside the kingdom of God, you are either great or you are less. It's either a great person or a worthless person. That is, you cannot have both, but Christians have both. They are least because, number one, they don't have the privilege of being preachers, okay? But they are least, number one, because all of God's children are called the children of God, regardless of how old are you. Mama, you're older than me, but you are a child in front of God. You see, we are all children of God, regardless of our age. So we are least. That's why John, when he writes his epistle, he says, I'm writing to you, little children. He's talking to people with long white beards, little children. Because we are children of God. You can be least and be great at the same time by entering the kingdom of God. But out there, you are either great or you are not great. You cannot have the blessing of this dual purpose of God with Christians. Let me make an example. Okay, in my house, I am a husband to my wife, but I'm also my wife's spiritual leader or a father, spiritual father to my wife. Did you get that? Outside there, you cannot have your wife and your wife being your daughter. Because if I'm my wife's father, meaning spiritual father, my wife is now my daughter. We are sister and brother in Christ. You can't get out there to have your sister being your wife. In this church, my wife is my sister, but it's my wife. You cannot have your wife as a sister, but in this kingdom of God, your wife is your sister. Your husband is your brother. It happens only in the kingdom of God. There is a possibility of having a dual identity. My children in the house of God are my brothers and sisters. Wow. Because we are all the same in the eyes of God. So Jesus is saying a Christian can be least and a Christian can be great. How to become great? We enter the kingdom of God. We hold on to the gospel of Christ. That is what is telling the crowd. If you believe the gospel, even though you are least, you are great in the kingdom of heaven. That is the reality of greatness. People entering the kingdom of God. Before I confuse you, let's move on to the second point. Look at verse number 12. When you look at verse number 12, you realize that there's actually a war against the kingdom of heaven, or war towards the kingdom of heaven. There is something of war here. There are military words being used here. Violence and force. That is what you see in verse number 12. So I want to point out from verse 12 that there is a fight. And the fight is a fight for greatness. And this fight is real. Verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. Church, I want to bring two ideas I want to bring before you, how we can understand this verse, or what Jesus might have tried to be to communicate to the people or to the crowd, even to us this morning. Firstly, church, greatness is important, right? We already mentioned it. Here's the first thing, if you want to understand this verse. Satan also wants to be great. Satan wants to be great, and he's fighting for greatness. And that is very clear. Satan wants to be great, and he's fighting. Look at it this way. Jesus is saying here, from the first day, Jesus saying, from the first day John the Baptist began to preach until now that John is in prison and I, Jesus, am taking over. From that day, the kingdom of heaven or the gospel truth has been suffering from evil people. That's the first thing. In other words, man in his sin and Satan himself, they've come together fighting against the kingdom of God, fighting against its progress. They are fighting. Satan is standing in arms, fighting those who believe the gospel. Man himself standing in the forefront, the leaders of Israel, standing in the forefront, trying to fight every person who wants to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Fighting every person who goes to be baptized by John the Baptist. Because then, if they go to John, they are saying they recognize John to be that prophet sent by God. If you recognize John as the prophet sent by God, then you are recognizing Jesus as the Christ. They are fighting. Satan is standing. Standing before the kingdom of God, fighting and using violence, just as it is today, my friends, brothers and sisters. It is the same today. Everything that man does today, everything that men do, is against the will of God. Man is trying so hard, working with the devil to bury down, if you will, the gospel of God. They want to hide it under the carpet. That is what is happening today. There is violence against the kingdom of God. We're still talking about the violence. We'll get to the point, take it by force. There is violence against the kingdom of God. That is the first thing you need to do. You need to realize it involves Satan and evil men, sinful men, the very same men Jesus came to save. They are standing against the gospel. You go out to the street right now and tell someone to turn away from his sins. Let us see what's going to happen to you. Fighting against the very same truth that Jesus came to bring. Trying to extinguish the burning fire of the gospel, if you will. Trying to pour water and do whatever they want to do. Bringing a rubble on top of the gospel truth. Satan and evil men. Why are they doing so? Listen to the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. The Bible says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There is a problem here. The natural person, the people that Jesus was trying to reach, the people that John was trying to reach, some of the people in the crowd, and some of the people even today, there is a reason why they fight or allow the devil to use them to fight with the kingdom of God, because they cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, their hearts are darkened by the very same devil who darkens people's hearts towards the truth of God. They are not able to understand. You can explain, in other words, in so many ways they will not understand. God tried to explain to them in many ways. They did not understand. He sent John. They did not understand. He sent Jesus. They did not understand. Jesus sent his disciples. They did not understand. Jesus sent us through the disciples and him himself. Today, still people do not understand. There is a war that is waged against the kingdom of God. In other words, the truth of the kingdom of God has become a stumbling block to man. It makes men hate the source of the truth. And what is the source of the truth? Jesus is the source of the truth. The Bible is the source of the truth. This church is the source of the truth. And if this church is the source of the truth, this church will be hated by men and hated by other churches. And I'm telling you that it will happen, or is happening. Unless this church is not the source of truth, there is a war that is waged against the kingdom of God. In other words, church, as people fight against your Christianity or fight against your church, they are not fighting against you. They are fighting against the kingdom of God. So what I'm bringing to you, church, is that the fight for greatness is real. Satan wants to be great, But the problem is, he wants to be great at the expense of human souls. And he's torturing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for him to be great. Satan is against the advance of the gospel truth. Church, Satan is against the growth of the church. When Satan sees the church growing, he will bring a stumbling block in any way. That is why we must be a prayerful church. That is why we must be a church that is together. That is why we must be a church that understands one another. Because there is always going to be a stumbling block that Satan throws at the church if the church is growing in truth. But also man himself out there is against the gospel truth. And we see that in the character of Herod in this text. Herod put John the Baptist in prison for no reason at all. For no real reason at all. John the Baptist just said, what is happening here is wrong. Just as we are saying, sin is wrong. Then he ended up in prison. Man is against the truth. Therefore, the kingdom of God, church. When you say the kingdom of God, we're speaking about God's reign of righteousness. God's reign of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ was violently denied and rejected by men, used by Satan. That is what this is about. The very same people who needed to accept this, they violently denied and rejected this gospel truth. Men violently denied it. We can see that we don't have time to go through what the Pharisees were doing in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is the point. But church, the fact that men denied and violently rejected the gospel truth or the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God did not come as God then promised that it will come. The fact that people are rejecting and denying the gospel truth today, it doesn't mean that God is not working. It doesn't mean that God is not changing men from being sinners into saints. In the same way, the fact that the religious people of the time and Satan himself stood against the gospel, it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God did not come. It doesn't mean that the kingdom of God's promises did not come true, like some who want to tell us that no, it didn't happen. We must wait for a time called the millennium, 1,000 years, whereby then this kingdom of God is going to come to pass, or the kingdom of God is going to come in 1,000 years. No, church, we are not waiting for 1,000 years. It has come in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless man's rejection. That is the message. It doesn't matter how much Satan violently use men to be violent and reject the kingdom of God. God still is at work and is turning sinners into saints. We don't wait for 1,000 years. So the message here says, church, regardless of the violence and rejection of John's message and rejection of John himself, regardless of that, the kingdom advanced. The kingdom advanced in conflicts. That is what Jesus is saying. Look at the word violence. It brings something of a conflict. There's a conflict between what is good and what is bad. But the kingdom of God advanced regardless the conflict that was happening there. But here's another truth, church. The religious people, they rejected John's message. But what did they do when they rejected John's message? We're coming to now the point whereby they take it by force. When the religious people reject John's message, they push over their own religion as the supreme religion, rejecting the truth of God. They wanted to be those who are still recognized as the leaders of Israel. That is what religious people do. They put themselves up there. They try to enter the kingdom of God outside repentance. That is the first thing that religious people do. Or those, remember, those who are forcing their way into the kingdom of God. They want to be part of the church without repentance. So they are forcing themselves to be part of the kingdom. They are forcing themselves to be part of the kingdom of God without the message of repentance. That is what is happening here. That is why John says, go back, show signs of repentance. You cannot enter and force yourself to be counted among the saints. You have not believed. That is the message. But the religious people wanted to be counted as righteous, but they had not believed. That is what Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter number 3 of John. You need to be born again. I can see you are the teacher of Israel. I can see you have forced your way into the kingdom of God, as it were. But you are not part of the kingdom of God. You have not believed the kingdom of God. They violently
force their way into the kingdom of God. The violent religious people, they do that even today. And as they do that, they destroy the true biblical truth. That is what is happening. They want to be counted as Christians, but actually they are not. And what they do, they will bring a different way of salvation rather than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will they do today? Today they will tell you there is no salvation outside the Church of Rome. So they are grabbing the kingdom of God by force. Then they tell you there's no salvation outside sacraments or the Virgin Mary. You must believe in Mary and sacraments to have salvation. You just try to hijack the kingdom of God. You're forcing your way into the kingdom of God. You're trying to take it by force. You cannot have salvation until you work for your salvation. Maybe you must go to a night prayer, whatever they do, and when the umpoho, whatever that is, then you are working your way into the kingdom of God. Or you must stand on the street and give people books, tell them about the kingdom of God. Make sure that you get more to believe in your testimony. Then you become great in the kingdom of God. Maybe one day you'll be part of the 144,000 people trying to force your way into the kingdom of God. Grabbing the kingdom of God by force. But church, here's the message for this. We must pray for such a people. We must pray for such attitude. But here's Jesus' message. There is no way that one can force himself into the kingdom of God and succeed. No one can succeed by forcing himself into the kingdom of God. Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is John's message. Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. That is God's own message. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased. In other words, there is no way you force yourself into the kingdom of God outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus himself said. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, you have no way. Without me, you have no truth. Without me, you have no life. That is what the Spirit of God said about the Lord Jesus Christ, saying he is the one we're waiting for. He is the invisible, is the visible sign or the visible form of the invisible God. In other words, if you have seen Jesus, in other words, if you have believed in Jesus, you have believed in God himself. There is no other way around it. No one can enter or grab the kingdom of God by force. There is no way such violence that people were doing and Satan was doing can make the people actually enter the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? Listen to Matthew chapter number 23, verse 13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! In other words, actors. You are trying to show yourself to be something, but you are not actually what you say you are. Hypocrite is an actor. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven. You see, these people are standing at the door. They shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourself, nor allow those who will enter in. That is the attitude that Jesus had to deal with. That is the attitude you must pray for. That is what it meant. Firstly, that violence was taking the kingdom of God by force. They were violent against the kingdom of God, but also they were trying to take by force by making themselves part of the kingdom when they were not. But there's a second way in which we can understand this as well. The believer must strive to be great. We said first Satan is also trying to be great. The believer must strive to be great and remain great. Let's look at that idea. We are saying here, a believer needs to be aggressive then in the way he carries his faith. There must be a form of aggression or violence, spiritual violence that you have as a person. As a Christian, there must be an aggression within you, aggressive way you carry your faith. You can realize what I'm trying to say. You will not allow anything to distract the way you are committed to God. You'll be so aggressive towards sin. You'll be so aggressive towards any way that is trying to stop you to be a believer or a faithful person or a wonderful husband and a beautiful father or a loving mother. You will have this aggression, spiritual aggression. So a believer needs to be aggressive the way he carries out his faith. That is the idea. Listen to Luke chapter 16, verse 16. It's actually a cross reference of where we read.
trying to tell us that we must display a spiritual violence to take heaven by force. Luke 16, verse 16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it." So, there's the verses, the kingdom of God is preached. Those who are hearing the preaching of the kingdom of God, they are forcing their way into the kingdom of God. Let's have a clarity on that. Acts 4, verse 21 to 22. When they had preached, now the apostle had preached, when the apostle had preached the gospel to that city, and they had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Why did they return? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Two things we need to realize there. The apostles were strengthening the believers to continue in the faith. The believers, even us today, need to be strengthened to continue in the faith. In other words, there is a way in which a believer can drift back and not continue in the faith. I'm not talking about the believer losing salvation. I'm talking about the believer drifting away, become cold, become lukewarm. So the apostles are encouraging the believer to hold on to the truth. They are encouraging the believers to grab this kingdom of God by force, or violently grab this kingdom of God. In other words, without any apology to say we are Christians, regardless the situation around them. That's the reality of the matter. That is true Christianity. All those who will be in the kingdom of God, they must press on towards their way into salvation. They must press on. If you are a Christian, you need to press on. In other words, church, we are not born again to sit back and enjoy the ride. You sit back and enjoy the ride, you look at the bus passing you by. If you are born again as a Christian, you hold on, you press on towards the goal. You look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. You violently, inside you, spiritual violence, you use violence to hold. In other words, you deny yourself of other things that you actually like, so that you be in the kingdom of God. A Christian holds on to. The Christian makes a choice. He chooses Jesus, as I was saying. That is the Christian. He chooses to be where God is. He chooses to obey what God says. A Christian using spiritual army, or spiritual arms, if you will. Yes. In accordance to Ephesians chapter number 6. It is a fight. You put on the helmet. It's a fight. Do you see that? There's violence happening there. You put on the helmet of salvation. You wear breastplate. You put shoes of armor. You've got a spear in your hand. The word of God. There's a fight that is going on here. We are not saved to relax, but saved to fight. But we are not fighting against the world. We are fighting against our own sin inside us. That is this. You grab the kingdom of God by force. Against, not by force to enter, because you have entered, you grab it against all the odds, all that is possible in this world to pull you back. You grab it in your hands without any apology. You desire to be saved. You desire to know that I'm saved. You read the word of God. You fight. There's a violence between you and your feeling to sleep at night. I fight. I'm not going to sleep until I pray. You fight. There's violence. There's war there. There is a fight. I'm not saying everybody must fight now to read the Bible. For some people it comes easy. But other things you're fighting for, it may come easy to read the Bible, but then you're fighting to pray. Or fighting to be humble. It's a fight, church. So, only the Christian can violently fight and forcefully enter into the kingdom of God. But now, you are already in the kingdom. What do I mean by entering into the kingdom? Remaining in the kingdom of God until its accomplishment, until its, we use the term, it says, when it comes to its full, I just forgot the biblical term now, of that kingdom. When the kingdom comes to its full, when it is consummated, that is the word. We fight to remain in the kingdom of God. And only then, only such a people can forcefully or violently enter the kingdom of God. No one else. Do we understand the differences? Satan and man are fighting so that the kingdom does not grow. And evil men are forcing themselves into the kingdom when they are not born again. But we are fighting violence, fight against sin, against whatever is coming against us. And we are grabbing, holding on to the kingdom of God to enter, to remain in the kingdom of God. And I think that is a suitable message for us all, even this morning. It is a suitable message. If you will enter the kingdom of God, you will need to fight your own way into the kingdom of God against the world and against your own sin. You will need to fight. So Jesus is telling the crowd, if someone in this crowd has believed the gospel, it is not all that you do now. Now you have believed the gospel or the message truth. Now you need to fight. Not physically fighting the violent people, fighting the kingdom of God. No. Not only that. You need to fight your own demons, as it were. That's the word that people use today. You fight your own demons. In other words, you fight your own failures. You fight your own weakness. You hold on to the kingdom of God. And if you fight and holding on to the kingdom of God, it is a proof to you that you belong to the kingdom. Because people who does not belong to the kingdom, they don't fight for to be in the kingdom, and they don't actually remain afterwards. Because they forcefully entered. But you are forcefully trying to remain. And bless the Lord, Jesus Christ, for His grace, He is helping us all the time. The Bible says, He prays for us. He intercedes for us. Not only that, He gives us power to be what He says we shall be. That is why it says, no temptation that comes your way is able to overcome you unless you hold, if you hold on to the truth. Nothing. What must you do in times like this? Not only that you should look away from the enemy, not only that you should look away from the things of this world. He says, resist the devil and he will flee. That is how we hold on to the kingdom of God. So, church, we need to have aggression, an aggressive approach to be Christians. We must be aggressive. We must not allow something to snatch us from the kingdom of God. We must have aggression. But those who have not yet entered, they must also have aggression. You must be aggressive. Go, look for Jesus. If I use today's words, that's not biblical. Bible says Jesus look for us. But look for Jesus, because Jesus is looking for you. Yes, it starts first. But you must take a step yourself. That is why I say, we choose Jesus. I think that is what separated me from a friend of mine. Saying to him, Jesus chooses us. He says, no, we choose Jesus. That's a big separation. We separated. But the point is, I wish I could tell him, okay, let's agree. Choose Jesus then. But at the end of the day, it's because God has chosen you to choose Jesus. But it is for you to believe the gospel and choose Jesus. I'm saying it again. Choose Jesus. Hold on to Jesus, because God has chosen you for that purpose, to believe the gospel with aggression as a believer. A spiritual and biblical aggression. Let me close like this. Sometimes the things that are discouraging, church, can be of good encouragement to us. It was discouraging to the crowd to hear Jesus say, John is the greatest. And they are just worthless. That was the first thing they heard. But in that discouragement, there is also an encouragement. If you are among the crowd, at least you are among the crowd, you have believed the gospel, but you don't have the privilege of John, you are still great in the kingdom of God. If you are here in this church, but you are at least in a way that you don't have other people's privileges, if you have believed the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, you are great in the kingdom of God. So let us grab encouragement from Jesus. The world cannot encourage us. Only Jesus, in bringing a negative in your life or in correcting you in whatever you do, He can still encourage you to move on. Jesus and Jesus alone can encourage you to move on. So let us be encouraged by Jesus. How do we hear Jesus' encouragement? We hear what God says. How do we hear what God says? We hear from His word. Only His word. If we separate ourselves from the word of God, we will not know what is our true status. So what is our true status? We are great before God. Regardless of how we look like or where we come from. Why are we great? We have believed the gospel.
So what must we do that we believe the gospel? We're going to be violent. We're going to hold on forcefully, try to enter or remain in that kingdom of God. Why? Because Satan himself is trying to be great. And the world out there is trying to enter forcefully, trying to say they are Christians. So what does that leave us, me and you? There has to be a separation then between those who have forcefully entered into the kingdom of God and those who have entered correctly. What is that difference? There is a day and there is a night. We are of the day. We are of the light. So let your light shine, so that those who are out there may see the goodness and the greatness of God and come marching in to the kingdom of God. Why? So that they also may be great. Because out there, they are the great or least. Only here, there's a dual blessing. Least and great. Least because we are the little children of God. But great because we have believed the gospel. The good God bless us all. That is the reality of greatness. Holding on to the gospel. Thank you. Let us pray.